In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Jesus has many names. All throughout the Bible, God sprinkles in these various names, these identifiers of the Savior. And depending on who you ask or what church body you're affiliated with, there could be as few as a dozen or as many as up to 50. But tonight we focus on just one of those names, Emmanuel, God with us. Does that phrase seem correct, though? God with us. In a way, it's hard to find three words that are crazier when strung together. God with us? If you were to ask me, Pastor, what are your plans this coming weekend? And I said, well, you know, Tom Brady's going to swing by and we're going to cut me off right there, right? No. Hall of Fame quarterback, soon to be. Legendary quarterback, Tom Brady, and you? Nope. Or what about if I said, well, you know, Taylor Swift's going to swing by for pizza and a movie night? Nope. That wouldn't be right either. Because you would say, no offense, Pastor, but you do not belong with those famous people. And you're 100% correct. I don't. So what about God? God with us? Doesn't make sense. In fact, there are a million reasons why God should want nothing to do with us. Because the whole of human history is the story of God, why God should not be with us. It starts in the beginning. Remember Adam and Eve? God puts them in this perfect world with one simple command. Don't eat from that tree. And what do? They break that command. And we do the exact same thing. We break God's commands. We break God's heart. And then centuries later, God selects Israel to be his chosen nation. Out of all the nations in the world, he selects them as his people. And what do? They're constantly turning away from God, constantly chasing after other gods. And we do the exact same thing. Constantly turning away from God's path onto our own, constantly setting up idols in our hearts, whether we realize it or not. In fact, according to our sinful nature, we want to worship anything and everything except God. It's like all of creation, all of history is shouting out to God, don't be with them. They don't deserve you. They're sinners. But God does an amazing thing when it comes to sin. When people sin, God doesn't step away from them. Instead, he steps closer to them. You know the first thing God did after Adam and Eve fell into sin all those years ago? He searched for them. He called after them in the garden. When Jesus talks about God's love later in the New Testament, do you know the images he uses? A shepherd searching for a lost sheep. A woman searching for a lost coin. A father searching for a lost son. Because there's no other images that can better describe God's grace, the undeserved, searching love that he has for sinners like you and me. So when God looked down at history and he saw all the different times we'd turned to go our own path or turned our backs on him entirely as a people, as sinful humankind, instead of stepping away, he made a promise through the prophet Isaiah that one day he would step closer to us. And so we read from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. The word of the Lord. Emmanuel, God with us. God became one of us. That's who Jesus is. True God and yet also true man. God's son and Mary's son. Jesus is God with us to save us. Because of Jesus, you are forgiven. Because of Jesus, you have hope. Because of Jesus, you have eternal life. Because of Jesus, you have peace. O come, Emmanuel, we sing. And he has come. God is with us. So why then, especially during this season of the year, does it seem like anxiety creeps into our lives a little bit easier than it does the other months of the calendar? Why is it that it seems like we can never get enough peace in the season of peace? The answer is pretty simple. If you misunderstand any of those three words, God with us, you miss the peace that Jesus brings. And it starts with that first word, God. Why so little peace in your life? Maybe it's because we've made God too small. I mean, as a society, we deny that God created the world. Instead, we think it just popped into existence all by itself. According to our society, we deny that God heals. Instead, it's our medicine that provides the miracles. In our society, we deny that God provides in general. Instead, it's you and me working those long, hard hours for anything and everything that we get. And because we are in that society, our own souls can start to become saturated with that line of thinking. And so we make God smaller than what he actually is. We don't think about him very much, and we don't think very much of him. And when you have a small God, you're going to have small peace. So what's the antidote? The antidote to all that anxiety is to see God for how big he truly is. One of the easiest ways to do that is to go out on a clear night and look up. And look up at the stars and the planets arrayed across the sky. Do you know astronomers estimate that there are about 300 billion stars in our galaxy? And 2 trillion galaxies just like ours spinning around the universe? I'm not a math person, but I looked it up. And that means that there are more stars in the sky than there are grains of sand on the entire surface of the earth. And God is bigger than all that. And that's the God who is with you. When your eyes see how big God is, then his peace becomes bigger in your heart. But even if you know how big God is, maybe you stumble on the second of those three words, with. God with us. And maybe it's just a slight change that you make in your phrasing. And you find yourself saying things like, well, God will be with us. Slight change, but it means a whole world of difference. Because it implies that we will be with God, or he will be with us one day in heaven, but for right now, here on earth, we're on our own. That changes things drastically. Facing cancer becomes a lot more scary when it's God will be with us instead of God with us. Or maybe around this time of year, instead of adding a future spin to it, you instead put a little bit of a past spin on that phrase. And you say, God was with us. God was with me. Because around this time that those waves of nostalgia start crashing on the shore of your mind, and you start thinking back to Christmas's past, and maybe those years were better for a variety of reasons. And it seems like God was with me then, but where is he now? There's a flaw in that thinking, though, that God could somehow only be with us in the past, or he'll only be with us in the future, but he's not with us now. And that flaw is drawn out by another promise that God gave through the prophet Isaiah when he said, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you." It's hard to imagine a loving mother forgetting any of her kids. And yet God said, even if that was possible, it's not possible for him. He cannot forget you. He will not forget you. He refuses to forget you because you are etched on his hands. You are his child and he is God. No matter how forgotten or how alone you feel in this moment, recognize that when God says Emmanuel, he doesn't say God will be or God has been with us. He says God with us right here and right now. And as we approach Christmas, it's hard to imagine him getting even closer to us. Remember that when people sin, God doesn't step back, he steps closer. And at Christmas, God steps directly into our world, into the timeline of human history, where he takes on flesh and is born in Bethlehem. When you see that baby, grow up to be the Savior who bears your sin on the cross, recognize that he cannot be any closer to you than he is right then. And he can't be any closer to you than he is right now. Now that all sounds great, doesn't it? Until you hit your third word, and maybe that's where you start to get tripped up in your life. God with us? Question mark. That can't be right. You scroll through your social media feed of choice, and you see all the smiles and the vacations and the possessions that others have, and it's easy to start thinking, God certainly seems to be with them, but then you look around at your life, and maybe he's not with me as much as I would like to think he is. Or maybe you look around church or school or your social circle, and you see families that seem to have it all together, or they don't have the friction that your family life has, and it's, again, easy to start thinking, God's certainly with them, but I don't think he's with me. And that's when Satan tries to dig his fingernails in you there. And he starts agreeing, yeah, you know, I don't think God is with you. After all the times you've turned your back on him, after all the discontentment you've shown toward him, after you've pushed him away, whether it's to the back burner or off the stove entirely, again and again and again, you're right. God is with them. He can't be with you. That's when Isaiah's words need to ring even clearer in your heart. That God is with you. Maybe your whole life it seemed like God is with someone else but not with you, but that's just not true. And God shows that to you at Christmas as he comes down and looks you in the eye, you, and says, I am with you. I came to save you. I am your God. You are my child. You have a God. In fact, you have something even better. You have God with us, Emmanuel. You have exactly what you need because you have Jesus. I was really excited to have an opportunity to preach on this text because I've heard it countless times maybe at this point in my life, but I needed to hear it again because there are too many days in my life where God does seem far off, where he seems small, where he seems like he's with others but not with me, and I'm sure you have those days too. Days where your heart forgets those promises of God. Days where your mind is occupied by something else, and so that anxiety and that hopelessness start to inch their way closer. You and I need Emmanuel, God with us, today and tomorrow and next week and in the new year and every single day for the rest of our lives here. Because those three little words are everything. God with us. That's our comfort when life is good and when it's not so good. God with us. That phrase gives us strength in the face of despair. God with us. That phrase is our battle cry against the devil. God with us. That phrase is everything for a Christian. It's everything for you because it speaks to all of your fears. It says, no, the God we're talking about is the true God, and he's your God, and you are not alone, and you are loved, and you have a Savior, because you have Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.